We are in our second sermon series of the Always God, and today we learn about the always hearing God. And so let me just start with this question to set the stage just a little bit this morning. If somebody's hearing, what does that mean that somebody else is doing? What's that? Talking. Yes, exactly. So if God is hearing, somebody else is talking. And so if God's hearing, then who do you think's doing the talking? Us, right? Prayer. So that's what this is kind of about here this morning. If God's hearing, we're talking as the people of God. And so with that in mind, I want you to turn to the book, 2 Kings chapter 19 in your Bible. So it's in the first part of the Old Testament. And we are going to learn about Hezekiah. Hezekiah was the king of Israel, mostly the Judean kingdom. He sat in Jerusalem. The northern kingdom was attacked by the Assyrians, and there's a lot of turmoil in the land in Hezekiah's day. And Hezekiah was now going to be threatened by the Assyrian king and for his land and so on. And we're going to learn about Hezekiah's two prayers here this morning. So in the midst of his kingdom being threatened under attack, he also has a health issue. And they kind of coincide with each other, but we see who Hezekiah is, a very godly king, one of the few that Israel has in the way that he leads Israel. And so we're going to learn about Hezekiah today. And so chapter 19, verse 14 is where we're going to start, and then we'll go to chapter 20 for his second prayer. So this is his first prayer after he's learned that he's been threatened and the Assyrians are coming. And this is what he does. Hezekiah received the letter from the messengers and read it. Now, the messengers were his people that met with the Assyrians. And so the Assyrians set some people out that were going to let Hezekiah know, hey, the Assyrian army is coming, and we're going to take your land. And here's where this begins. Then he went up to the temple of the Lord, and he spread it out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You've made heaven and earth. Give ear, Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, Lord, and see. Listen to the words of Sennacherib. Now, he would have been the ruler of the Assyrians, the country, the king, has sent to ridicule the living God. It is true, Lord, that the Assyrian kings have laid waste these nations and their lands. They've thrown their gods into the fire and destroyed them. For they were not gods, but only wood and stone, fashioned by human hands. Now, Lord, our God, deliver us from his hand, so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone, Lord, are God. Then Isaiah, son of Amos, sent a message to Hezekiah. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I've heard your prayer concerning Sennacherib, king of Assyria. And then, if you would go to 2 Kings chapter 20, just flip the page, and we're going to read verse 1 through 6. So, we see this first prayer. Now, notice what's going to happen here. This is the second prayer that goes to him, Hezekiah's illness. In those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, went to him and said, this is what the Lord says, put your house in order because you're going to die. You will not recover. Now, that would be a pretty hard one to take, wouldn't it? If that was you're in that situation, somebody's telling you that. But Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and he prayed to the Lord. Remember, Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully with wholehearted devotion and have done what is good in your eyes. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Now, I want you to notice Hezekiah's heart here as we go through these prayers. He wept bitterly at this news before the Lord. Before Isaiah had left the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him. Go back and tell Hezekiah, the ruler of my people, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. I've heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will heal you. On the third day from now, you will go up to the temple of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life. And I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend this city for my sake and for the sake of my servant David. Now, many of you are thinking, well, how old is this guy? So Hezekiah became king as a very young man. And so at the time that he became ill, it's believed that he was about 40 years old. So not a very old man, and given 15 more years, which then would make him about 55 at the point of his death. And so that's what I want to share with you this morning. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we learned about Hezekiah's prayer life, and he was a godly man, Lord, I pray that you can just bring this story to life today through your Spirit. Lord, I pray that for those that have gathered here in your church and those that are listening online this morning, that they can just receive the power of your Spirit in their life, Lord, to understand your teaching this morning. Lord, I pray too that these words are yours and never mine. In Jesus, I pray these things. Amen. How many of you receive invitations in the mail for different things? And let me just explain that just a little bit this morning. Wedding invitations or birthday invitations, or maybe it's an anniversary. How many of you receive those types of invitations in the mail, right? Here's another type of invitation I want to share with you this morning. Have any of you ever received an invitation for a credit card? Anybody? Yep, everybody does, right? Now, that's kind of an invitation too, isn't it? So we get all types of different invitations in our life if we really think about it. But this morning, I want to invite you in to the invitation of God extending his prayer life to you. I got to move this table just a little bit. And so I want to share with you a God through this verse of Hezekiah and through the message this morning, our life of prayer. Because I said this morning that if God is hearing, somebody is speaking. And of course, that's his people. That's you and I in our prayer life. So think about that just for a moment this morning. So it's really amazing to me that the God of the universe, he invites us to know him through prayer, to spend time with him in our lives on a daily basis, that we can actually speak with him. We can grow in our relationship with him. And so he does this by calling us to pray. And I'm going to quote some different Bible verses this morning. They're not all going to be on the screen, but here's one from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 33, verse 3. It says, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known." That God will reveal things to us in our prayer life that maybe we didn't know or understand through the work of the Holy Spirit, that we can better know our Father in heaven, better know the way that he works, better know his will for our lives. And he says this to us as well. He promises that when we call upon him, he will hear our prayer. And so I want you to know that God is still hearing this morning. Now, one of the most difficult things that I've encountered as a pastor over the years is that people's prayer life, it can lack sometimes. It is difficult. It's hard. In fact, I could even say this. For many prayers, the most difficult thing of Christian discipline for people to stay in and do on a regular basis. Now, you might be saying, yep, we pray regularly at meals. We pray when tough things come into our lives and our family, or maybe it's a health concern, or we pray for rain when it's dry, and I get that and I understand that, and that's good. But then I know that you also ask these questions about your prayer life when it comes to more depth of understanding that. And you might ask questions like this. Well, what should I be praying for? Is it okay to pray for myself? You would not believe how common that question is asked of me. And the answer to that is yes. You can pray for yourself. That is not selfish when you come to God with the right heart. Another one is, how long should I pray? Does that make a difference? And I'll answer that later on in my message here this morning. And then some of us might even think this. If God already knows my needs, why does prayer even matter? Why does it matter if he knows my needs? He understands me better than I do. And then you have the fact, when you pray, your mind wanders off. Anybody ever had that? You're sitting there, you're praying to God, and all of a sudden, you're worried about that load of laundry you got to get from the washing machine to the dryer. Where does that come from? Right? Yeah. And so those are normal things of a prayer life. And just know that we all experience that. And so what I hope to show you today is the beauty of serving a God who still hears. And more importantly, this statement I want to make to you this morning, that the tragedy of Christians, you and I not taking God up on his offer to pray. We don't do it enough. We need to do more of it in our lives to pray. And so I'm going to teach you the life of Hezekiah and the way that he prayed to God. And so we're going to jump right into that. And if you have your Bible open, you can definitely keep it there to those two prayers this morning. But in 2 Kings 19 and chapters 20, we find those two prayers which I just read to you. And Hezekiah was the king of Judah at the time. He's one of the few kings that had a heart for the Lord, a deep faith for God. Most kings in that day, they're evil, far from God. You read that the Assyrians, they had their idols. Other countries had their idols. In fact, the Assyrians even destroyed their idols in those other countries. But I want you to listen to the heart of Hezekiah. And if you have your Bible open, you can go to 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 5 and 6. This is how he's described in his walk with God. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 5 and 6. He trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, so that there was none like him among all the kings of Judah after him, nor among those who were before him. For he held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept the commandments that the Lord commanded Moses. That's the kind of heart that he had. That's the character of Hezekiah, the man we're talking about. He had integrity, he had faith, and he trusted in the Lord, no matter what the situation was that he faced. Doesn't mean he's perfect. But his heart was inclined for the Lord. In the first prayer in 2 Kings 19, he had to do with a national crisis. His country is going to be attacked by a foreign army, and it was a big, powerful army. The second prayer in 2 Kings, verse 20, is in regard to a personal health crisis. Hezekiah, you're going to die. You're going to die. In both texts, Hezekiah prayed. In both cases, God responded to his prayer. So here's my question for you this morning. Was his prayers more important than yours? Were they different than what you and I might pray for? Why did God answer those prayers so swiftly, right there, for the things that Hezekiah asked? Why doesn't God always maybe answer my prayers that I pray this morning? And so I'm hoping that these next few pages of my message will kind of bring that around for you. Because what it's going to do is it's going to maybe put a mirror in front of you this morning that you can see your heart and the way that you're praying and what's your posture of prayer. It's got a word I'm going to use here for a moment this morning. Your posture of prayer, and you'll understand what I'm talking about here in just a moment. So here's the first question that I want to ask you this morning. Let's talk about what I'm going to call healthy prayer. All right? What does healthy prayer consist of, or what does it look like in my life as I follow my Lord? Because prayer is not some magical chant that we go through, that we repeat something that God just hears on a whim and he does it. Now, he's got the power that he can do that, but prayer can be so much deeper in your life if you understand a few things in the way that Hezekiah lived his life. You see, God's not like some genie. We don't rub the side of a bottle and the genie comes out and we get to speak to God. That's not how it works. What we learned from Hezekiah is that healthy prayer includes a healthy posture. Now, what do you know about posture? Let's talk about physical posture for a moment. What are ways that you like to pray physically? Some of you might close your eyes or bow your head before the Lord. The Bible talks about laying prostrate, meaning face to the ground, maybe your hands out in front of you, on your knees, that you can pray in that way. Some of you might lift your hands and look to the heavens, and you might pray, God, I need your help. Posture. That's physical. But what I want to talk to you about today, what is the posture of your heart? What does that look like for you? And the way that you come to God in your prayer. That's what I really want to talk about this morning. When Hezekiah is confronted with being assaulted and overthrown by the enemy, and then he's confronted with his own death, did you notice his response in both of these situations? And I have them on the green box, and I'm sorry they're a little bit small this morning, but you know the prayers are in front of you in chapter 19 and chapter 20. Notice the first one, verse 14, the second half. This is what happens. So he receives the information, and this is what Scripture says. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord, and he spread it before God. Gave it to the Lord. He didn't hold back. He said, God, I need your help here. I don't understand this. We're going to get attacked. You are the mighty God of heaven. You created the earth and the air that I breathe. Lord, we need your help. And then the second prayer, verses 2 and 3. After he had known that Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, who you guys know from the book of Isaiah, a great prophet, come to him and said, Hezekiah, you are so sick. The Lord sent me to you just to inform you that you need to get your house in order because you're not going to live much longer. This illness is going to take your life at 40 years of age. And here's Hezekiah's response. Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall. So you can about imagine, I'm assuming that he's laying in a bed of some kind. And he turned over away from Isaiah. And Hezekiah wept bitterly, knowing that he was going to die. And he prayed to God. Here's the point this morning. Both times, Hezekiah's posture, I'm talking about his heart here now, his posture was one of humility and brokenness. And if you want to get God's attention, you go with humility and you go with brokenness and you ask God your prayer. That's how he wants us to approach him. Hezekiah was king, but Hezekiah realized that there was someone way greater than him, way more powerful than him. He was humble in heart, even as a king. Hezekiah understood his place, and he understood it well. See, that's where healthy prayer begins. Your posture of your heart when you come to God. And for us to understand that, the simple fact is that we are not God. We are not God. Some of us might think that we're in control of our own world and we do what we want to do and we say and whatever we say goes in our lives. See, that's not a humble heart. That's somebody that's self-righteous. Somebody that's selfish. That's not the kind of heart that God's looking for. God is looking for a heart of humility and a heart of brokenness. And if you can understand that, there is this great power in your prayers at that point in your life. all about the posture of your heart, how you approach God. And I might even say this. This is a pretty strong statement here that I'm going to share with you up top. If we don't come before the Lord with a humble heart or an element of brokenness, God will not respond to your prayers. I truly believe that. And here's the problem. When you think you're in control of your own life, when you think that you call the shots and you get to ask for what you want or desire and you don't seek the will of God, there's a small sin that just creeps into your heart, and it's called pride. Pride. And I got a few words that go with that this morning. How many of you have you're on the phone and you're talking away and you go through Klondike and the phone call drops? Anybody ever had that? You all have had it, haven't you? Yeah. Well, guess what? When you have pride, and then you go to God with prayer and you're filled with pride, it's just like a dropped phone call. Nobody's on the other end because of pride. See, your heart's not humble. It's not broke. And this is what pride looks like in your life. And I got a few words I want to share with you today. The first is kind of a strong one. It's unbelief. It's unbelief that God is not going to answer my prayer, or that God doesn't care about what I'm going to say to him. And so you already start off thinking, you know, I'm going to pray this prayer, but I'm pretty sure God's not even going to answer it. See, that's unbelief. Believing that God's not going to do what he says. And if I could attach a little bit to that as well in that prayer, here's a very important thing when you pray that prayer. And Hezekiah learned this. May God's will be done, but not my finish it own. There's a big difference when you pray. Unbelief. The second one is selfishness, another form of pride, right? And we're asking not for God's glory or his will to be done, but instead, Lord, I need something. I could really use this, right? Selfishness enters in. Lord, if you could just help me figure this out, or I need this, or I could get that, or it'd be really great if that would go away because life would be better. See, it's all about us sometimes, isn't it? And sometimes we forget that it's the will of God that we should be pursuing in our life. Selfishness enters in. You just went through Klondike with the Lord. Here's another one. Disobedience. What does the Bible say about that when you're disobedient? Isaiah 59 verse 2. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Sin separates. We know that. It's just like a dropped call. Disobedient sin. Now you need to understand that. Disobedient sin to me is that when you actually know that you're sinning and you choose not to change it. You stay live there. That's disobedience. Now, I'm not talking about that time where maybe you said something inappropriate to your neighbor or your wife or as a family member and you apologize and you pray for forgiveness and you don't do that anymore. See, that's not disobedience. Disobedience is when you choose to do something that God says not to do and you continue doing it. And God says, you know what? If that's the way you're going to live your life, then I can't hear your prayer. And by the way, God's not looking for perfection. He's simply looking for one who displays the continual posture of humility and brokenness in your life. If you want something to do this afternoon, go home and read 2 Kings 19 and 20, and I believe it's, let me look at my notes here. If you continue to read verse 20, you'll see that Hezekiah makes some bad choices. Not good. He was far from perfect. But he knew how to come to God in prayer. And I'm wondering, do you and I know how to come to God in prayer? Here's the second thing I want to talk to you about this morning. So if we learn what healthy prayer looks like, then what should a healthy perspective look like in our life? Now, this is probably going to be, you often hear pastors or something, we'll talk about milk and meat. This is going to be the meat part of the segment here this morning, all right? This is going to take some depth in your spiritual life to understand this and to be able to live here in your life. So I want you to think about Hezekiah and his prayers that we've been talking about. In his prayer, he acknowledged the sovereign rule and reign of God, and he trusted the Lord to answer his prayer. And this is the key, however the Lord saw fit. That's a hard prayer. It might look like this. Lord, I might have cancer. I trust that you'll heal me however you see fit. That's how Hezekiah prayed. And here's where the depth comes from, church. Are you okay with that? Because when you say, you know what, I'm okay with that, what you're saying to the Lord God with a humble and broken heart, that he's in control and he knows what's best for what I need. That takes spiritual depth to be okay with that type of prayer. You might not like it, but that's the way Hezekiah prayed. You know, Hezekiah, when he received the news that he was going to die, he's probably around 40. Now, how many, this is what it looks like. How many of you, if you're 40 years old and the good Lord said, I'm going to give you, by the way, if you read on in the story, the good Lord gives him 15 more years. Makes him 55. Now, if that was you in that situation, what would be your next prayer? Lord, why not more? Why only 15? But Hezekiah didn't pray for that. He accepted what God gave him with a humble heart, with brokenness. God, you are the master. God, you are the creator. God, I trust in your perfect plan, even though it makes no sense to me that I'm only going to get 15 years and that you'll take me at 55. That's depth. And I want to tell you this morning, church, that's where God wants you to live. That's where you need to grow into if you're not there, to trust your Lord at that level in your spiritual walk. That's not easy to do. But I will say this. There are some of you that are there. You live there. You trust God to that point over everything else that goes on in your life. But there's great peace when you can live there with your Lord. Great peace. You know, here's some questions I could ask you this morning. Do you have this deep-seated trust in God? Do you have a healthy perspective that God is sovereign? meaning that he's in control of everything and that he knows better? And are you okay with that? No matter how it turns out, God is different than us. His plan will be different than ours. And it will be better. You might not see it upon this earth, but it will be better. Friday was a little bit of a tougher pastoral day for me and for this church. The news of Amy's father's passing away that morning. The news of Kylan with a brain tumor that was cancerous by Friday afternoon. I thought, boy, God, how much more can you give us as a church with what we already have? Knowing that this sermon is coming this morning. And all God asks is that we pray. He wants to see your heart. And so when I started the service this morning, I asked a question of you. Don't miss the opportunity to pray with your Lord and Savior. He wants to hear from you because he's still hearing. And I've seen miracles in this church since I've been here. And they're sitting right in here today. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we know that we live in a very broken world. It's filled with chaos. It's filled with sin. It's filled with disease, with hardship, with good news, with bad news, with blessings, Lord, with miracles. And we know, Lord, that you're in control. You sit on the throne. Lord, we know that Satan might think that he's got the reins, but little does he know that Jesus holds the power. Lord, our prayers are powerful. You hear us, Lord, and we come to you with a humble heart when we're broken. Lord, may you hear your people this morning as we sit before you. May the posture of our hearts just be seen and recognized, Lord, as we come to you today. Lord, I want to pray today just for a moment in silence with our prayers before you today. Lord, you promise that when we pray, you hear us. Lord, I thank you today that you are a hearing God. And Lord, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus we pray these things. Amen.